Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to the show. My name is Dan Hafner. I'm joined here by another guest of mine, Jeremy Shapiro. I don't believe he's any relation to Ben, but maybe he is. Who knows? I don't think so.
It's my middle name, if that helps.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Well, anyway, today I brought Jeremy on because we're going to talk about some really interesting stuff, I think, in terms of burnout, in terms of growing. Like a lot of people, you know, if you're listening to the show, you're probably someone in this hustle and grind phase, or maybe you've gotten out of that. You're probably either running something on your own, or maybe you have a small team at this point. But you know, I think there's a lot of, I mean, even myself being in this position, being you know, pretty small, choosing to stay small for a lot of reasons. There is a difference between being a business owner and being like a freelancer or a solopreneur or whatever you want to call it. Jeremy kind of has a lot of interesting things around this, but he's also very versed in the SaaS world, the technology world. We'll talk a little bit about masterminds even today. A lot of cool things. So I brought Jeremy on here to talk about this. So before I bring him in officially, please be sure to like and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening or watching. That's always helpful. Click anything if you're on YouTube, Spotify, whatever. That's always super, super helpful. And we really thank you for all of that. So Jeremy, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great. I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to do something a little different for an intro. Tell us one weird and wacky fact about you, just like something that is just kind of like off the wall, like something funny.
So I'm an avid cyclist. I love, riding, not just riding, but riding unreasonably long distances. And being a craft coffee lover and, 15 plus years now as a vegan, I will ride unreasonably long distances for really good coffee and really good vegan pastries. So I spend a good amount of time enjoying that. It's social, it's fresh air, it's good headspace. It's great for mental, physical wellness and all that. And it's something I love doing. So most folks think I'm crazy when we talk about where we ride and what we do.
Yeah, I bet. That's really cool. That's one thing I tried to get into a long time ago. I can never really get into the biking and cycling piece of it. I was always a runner and that kind of stuff. But
it's funny. Whenever I'm out riding and I'm riding past runners coming towards me, runners always look haggard, like they're about to just keel over and die. Like they never seem like they're having fun. But when I pass cyclists, like everyone's smiling and having a good time. So look, I'm a runner also. But I will say I see more smiles on bikes than I see on runners.
That's interesting. That's an interesting observation. I would probably have to agree with you on that. Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyway, man, that's awesome. Really cool. So, you know, what is it that you really specialize in? Who do you help? And, you know, what is this difference, in your opinion, at least from the people that you've worked with over your career? Like what is the difference between someone who's, you know, a business owner versus someone who's just kind of calling themselves a business owner?
So my entire career, I've always been an entrepreneur, dating back to high school, which was, as the gray will prove, decades upon decades ago. And all of my businesses over those years have been in the service of other entrepreneurs and really helping entrepreneurs move towards what I call entrepreneurial freedom. And whenever I talk about entrepreneurial freedom, people think I'm talking financial freedom. I'm like, yeah, like that's a piece of it. But really what entrepreneurial freedom is at its heart is the freedom of time. It's optionality. Yeah. It's choice in how you spend your time, who you spend it with, and what you're doing. Whether that's more time with your family, more time pursuing your hobbies, like cycling, more time in your community, more time in your church, more time in your whatever it is, right? And for many of us, it's more time in our own business or in other businesses. And so that entrepreneurial freedom means you can choose how you spend that time versus feeling like you have to be doing something, whether it's your 9-to-5 job because you got a mortgage to pay, whether it's working in your business 90 hours a week towards burnout because you think that's the only way the business survives and so on. So all my work has been with entrepreneurs, helping them to move on that journey towards that entrepreneurial freedom. And to your question around like the difference between having a business and being a true business owner, it comes down to this one litmus test I like to use. So for our listeners, if you close your eyes, well, maybe not if you're driving, but if you imagine for a moment with me, if you stepped away from your business for like a day or a week, maybe a month or a few months, like what would happen? When you came back, would the business be the same or better? Or would there just be like a dumpster fire of, nothing left in your business? For many, many quote business owners, it's the latter, right? the business is so dependent upon you that if you're gone for even a short period of time, the business is gone, right? So that's a way to know that you're still self-employed versus being a true business owner. And Robert Kiyosaki, if you've read Cashflow Quadrant, talks about these four quadrants of moving from employee to self-employed, across the chasm to business owner and then investor. And we really help folks to cross that chasm and become a true business owner built around systems and people so that you can step away and spend your time in a way that's most meaningful to you.
Interesting. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's kind of, like you said, it's not a lot of people get into business. I mean, I can't say everyone, but most people get into business because they want to make a lot of money and they want to have that time freedom and they want to experience those things. But it tends to be, do you see a lot of people that get stuck in this self-employed trap?
Yeah. We see it a ton. If you think about, if you're familiar with Michael Gerber's The E-Myth Revisited, he talks about this technician archetype, right? This is someone who's doing a trade within a business and then steps out and runs their own business doing that. This might be the plumber working for a plumbing company who goes and opens their own plumbing company, right? Mm-hmm. And Michael Gerber's The E-Myth, he talks about Sally, who loves making pies, so she opens a pie shop, right? This can be someone you're working at a software company, you decide to leave and start your own software company. We see this all the time, right? And then suddenly you realize that, like, when you had a job, you got to do just the work in the business, the work of the business. And then when you have a company, well, now you've got to do sales and marketing and accounting and legal and all these things that come with having a business that is not just the work of the business. And especially if you're a sole proprietor, the amount of time you can spend actually doing the work of the business now is greatly reduced because of everything else you've got to do. And so that's where people typically start to move towards burnout, because you're doing everything, you're wearing all the hats. And if you don't get the work done, you don't have a business, so you feel this obligation to do everything. We had a client I was working with who was in that boat, and he had a great company, a great product that he stood behind. This was a hardware product with software that he put together on the hardware, and he needed to be there for his customers, as we all do, right? The problem was, he's a guy who loved the outdoors, right? He loved going mountain biking, enjoying the mountains and all that, but there's not much cell phone coverage there. And so he was torn with this, like, how can I be there for my customers and also recharge in the outdoors and take care of my physical, mental health and everything else? And so what he chose was the business, because he has to be there for his customers. And that was quickly leading to burnout. He wasn't recharging how he needed. He was working too many hours and so on. So one of the first hires was simply, an outsourced support person who was working, 40-hour week, handling first-line customer service. This freed him up to be able to reinvest his time in the business, to work on the sales side of things, to work on the marketing side of things, to step out of the business and get back out in the mountains to recharge and so on. And so just that first step really freed him up by taking one hat off and handing it to somebody else. And that's a really big move that moves you from being a solopreneur towards a business owner.
Very cool. Now that's a very, very relevant story. I feel like there's a lot of people that I've run into. I've heard myself in that story a lot. I just had that happen last week where we were out and on a vacation and bad cell phone service. And it was like, not ideal for a couple of situations, but it is what it is. So that kind of leads me into my next question. Now I could probably guess the answer here, but I want to hear your thoughts on it. So, I mean, obviously, we all kind of know, like, you can kind of feel deep down when you're in that spot, you get stuck in the spot where you're wearing all the hats. And you're running every which way, like a chicken with its head cut off. And you're just like, what the heck do I need to do? Because a lot of people don't tell you about those things, or you find out the hard way that, like, oh crap, like, why don't I have a lot of, I haven't been marketing. Or like, why am I, like, just all these different things, right? Or accounting or legal, or whatever it might be. So what are the mistakes you see very common, like maybe even generally, but like maybe more specifically inside of people in that tech space, maybe the software space, whatever, what are some of those mistakes that people take or that they make when they're like, okay, I have all these hats, I want to move to take some of the hats off. So you can kind of figure out what to do from there. But like, what are some of the mistakes you see people make from there?
Yeah, so there's a few of them. And a lot of them, I hate to say this, come down to, like, what's up here in the headspace, right? There's some beliefs that get rocked when you're a new business owner. That if you want to scale, you need to challenge some of your beliefs. And this is something we do in our mastermind groups all the time, is you have that peer advisory from other like-minded business owners and entrepreneurs who see those blinders on you that you can't see because you got them on, but they see the blinders and the blocks and can help you get unstuck. Yeah. So I'll share with you a few of those. So one, and this is sort of the perfectionist mentality, is this idea that no one can do stuff as well as you can. Especially if this is something you're putting your name on, which for most of us, there's a lot of pride wrapped up in the business we have, ego and, you know, our personal brand, that you feel no one can do stuff as well as you can. And so you don't hire for that because who could do it as well? Well, when you create a system with a clearly defined measure of success, and then you hire for someone to run that system, one of three things can happen, right? One is that the person doesn't follow the system, so doesn't get the result you wanted, and that's a matter of retraining back to the system. Two is that the person follows your system and doesn't get the result you wanted, which means the system needs refinement because you didn't define success or the steps well enough. Or the third, which is the ideal, which is that the person who follows your system hits the definition of success that you had, and you're proud to put your name on the work they do. Now, if we can get over that perfectionist mentality, we can create those systems and hire the people to do it. And like, little pro tip here, there are people out there who can do what you do better than you can. And if you surround yourself with people like that, you can really start to grow. And I'll share with you a quick story on that one before we touch on the next point. We had a member in one of our masterminds with a SaaS business, and he had a team. Like, there, he had developers, he had, you know, copywriters, he had people on the team doing stuff within the business, but marketing still fell to him. He was still doing a lot of the marketing as the business owner. Now look, are you the best at everything? None of us are, right? We usually have areas where we're really strong and some areas where we're weak, but when you got to do it all regardless of how good you are. Well, he was doing marketing and he was doing a good job, but as we know from good to great, good is the enemy of great. Well, he was able to see past this and he hired a CMO, a chief marketing officer. Now look, a CMO isn't cheap, right? That's a pretty high, you know, salary role to bring into the business. But suddenly he's got someone 40 hours a week whose only concern is marketing and growth. All the marketing came off of his plate and he was able to work on higher value tasks and work in the business. Now, being a SaaS business, every new customer that came on board was not a one-time sale, but was new recurring revenue that was able to increase that MRR. So bringing on someone really expensive to focus on nothing but the marketing meant it was someone who had way more expertise than he did and was able to be dedicated to that and was able to free him up so the business was able to grow. So you can do this kind of stuff in your own business. You look at what are the roles where someone else could bring in expertise that you're doing an okay job at. What provides that ROI? So that's one of those blocks, is this perfectionist mentality.
That's interesting. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but just on that thought, before we went too far down the next one, I just wanted to add this right here. What came to my mind was two little things when you were saying that, was like Henry Ford. I remember they always said that he always tried to, you know, get other people. He wanted to be the dumbest person in the room, right? And that kind of reminded me, I think it was Winston Churchill or somebody said something like, if you are the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Or maybe it wasn't Winston Churchill, it was somebody. But that's interesting, because I think a lot of us, we get, it's a pride factor. It's like, well, I started this because it's my name, it's my thing, it's my skill, I need to do these things. And that's a huge ego check when you have to let go of that. And like, it's like terrifying the first time you do. I remember the first time I outsourced a software build, like I got a client and then I was like, okay, I'm gonna go hire this guy to maybe help me do it, because I don't quite know how to do all this stuff. That was terrifying. Like, I was losing my freaking shit. I was like, oh my God, what if this doesn't work? And it worked out great. It was perfectly fine. You know? Yeah.
Now, is it always going to work out perfect? Is it always going to be a home run? No, but that's all right. Right? Look, as entrepreneurs, we face failure in different ways all the time. So it's not about avoiding failure, right? It's about three things. One is failing fast. Right? Two is learning from that failure, but most importantly is your recovery time. The time you can take from failing to getting back and doing something with that. That's what's really important. Many folks who are comfortable in a JOB and not going out there starting their own business don't want to take on any of that risk or see any of that. They want to be able to just be able to do their work and get a paycheck. Yeah. You're out there as an entrepreneur because you're okay with the fact that there might be failure and things might not work out. But you get to try again and you get to define what it is that you do personally and as a business and how you get there. And that's what's really great about entrepreneurship is you get to choose this stuff. You're the captain.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So continue with our mistakes.
Oh, so So one of them is this idea of no one can do it as well as I can. A second challenge we have is almost in this other direction, which you were just hinting on here a moment ago, is this idea that if you hire someone, they too might want to go out and start their own business and just end up competing with you and running their own competing business. Well, the reality is entrepreneurship is for us select weirdos. This isn't for everyone. Most everyone else would rather have a job and does not want to take on all that risk and challenges and problems. So the likelihood of someone just, you know, stealing your magic Coke recipe and going off and starting a Pepsi out there is pretty slim, right? And secondly, if they do, the chance of them seeing success is really slim. And lastly, let's say they do go out there and start a competing company doing almost the same thing. Is that necessarily bad, or does it help you to continue sharpening that sword and getting better at what you do? The reality is that when you do put some trust in someone else, just like you did, bringing on that developer to do stuff, you'll often find someone is happy with the role they have. They want to be an individual contributor and get paid for the work they do. They don't want to do the sales, the marketing, the business growth, the risk and everything else. But if you as a business owner go out there and you're working a 90-hour week on your own, you've got the worst parts of a job and the worst parts of a business. So why not flip it around and get the best parts of a job and the best parts of a business?
Yeah.
When you get to entrepreneurial freedom, you have a cash flow producing asset that provides revenue to you, not from the work you do in the business, but because you created the business, because you created an income producing asset.
Interesting. Okay. So staying on that topic, you know, if you follow, you know, any kind of people in this space, like maybe like Russell Brunson, Dean Graziosi, like whoever, right? There's this big buzz. It's not a buzz word. It's a buzz term, really. It's this, you hear it all the time, all over the place, especially when, if you're starting out or whatever, there's this term of work on your business, not in your business. Like I've heard that, I don't know, so many times, every time I hear it, I want to throw up. Right. So, but I want to hear your thoughts. Like, what is your definition? Like what are, when you tell someone, hey, you got to work on your business, like what does that look like? Like if I'm someone that's like, no, like I'm used to just being the operator. I just want to do these things. Like I know how to work in the business. Like I come from a job. Like I'm used to working in that role. What do you mean work on the business? What does that entail? What does that logistically look like? Right. Cause I asked this cause I had to go through this myself. So I'm interested to hear this, but like, that's how your brain works. You're like, okay, tell me what to do. Cause I don't know what working on the business means. Like I'm interested. How do you define that?
So working on your business is exactly what we do in our mastermind. So in our mastermind, it's a once a month dedicated day to work on your business and not in. And ideally, you're spending a lot more time than that working on your business. But here's the differentiation. The work in your business is the work of the business, right? So in our example earlier, let's say you go out and start a software company. The work in the business is like writing code. Okay? Super simple.
Right.
It can also be, in some cases, like sales, marketing, other roles like that. The work on the business is like the visionary work. It's the strategic work. It's the planning work, right? It's figuring out where do you want to go as a company? What's the product roadmap, right? How are you going to create this new marketing campaign? It's this bigger picture stuff, right? Then you can go execute that plan, and that becomes sometimes the work in the business, but is also often the work on the business. So you as the business owner, depending on the size of your business, on your own or with your leadership team, if you're a larger company and so on, should be taking that time to do the strategic work. And for many smaller business owners, the only time that happens is once a month during that mastermind meeting. Larger companies, I know, will do like a quarterly offsite, right? Everyone will head off for a few days and do this bigger picture stuff. But that's where you really figure out the direction of where you're going. And so in the mastermind room, when we're having these conversations, you're getting perspective from like-minded individuals who've been there, who've done that, and are able to help you get unblocked. But more importantly, you see what other business owners are doing and how they're growing their business. And that's where you get the ideas for what you can do strategically, bigger picture, to add new sales channels to your business that you didn't even know existed, right? Or to differentiate yourself in the marketplace in the ways that your competition is not, and so on. And that really comes from the exposure of being around like-minded business owners who are scaling their business and not just doing the work in your business with your team, customer facing, and so on.
Yeah, you see people walking the walk, and then that, that sparks a lot of stuff. Yeah. So, you know, in very, very interesting. So, oh gosh, I always lose my thoughts here. it was one thing. Oh, come on, Dan, pull it together, man. Oh, that's what I was going to say. So yeah. So you talked about, you know, this working on the business and the strategic thinking and all that other stuff. And as you were saying that, I could immediately think of someone, I'm trying to put myself in the position of someone listening. And I immediately think, dude, I don't have time for that. Like I and I see this in time and time again with people. And this used to be me too, of like, dude, I have so much work to do. I have so many things to do. I got house stuff. I got home stuff. Maybe you got kids stuff. You got whatever. Like I don't have time for this stuff. Right. And even for me, this is at least what I do, at least, you know, and I'm part of different things and whatever, but even once a week, you can do it on a walk, go on a walk with yourself. I take my dog for a walk and I'm weird. I'll like literally walk down the street and talk to myself like out loud. I've done it for years. I got over somebody was like, dude, are you actually talking to yourself? Like they thought it was the weirdest thing ever. I was like,
you just got to slip the AirPod in and say, I think you're on a call.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have headphones in or something, but like even something that simple, like the more I've done that for years, like like your own revelations and what you have to do comes to you. Like the more you just talk through like, man, like I just don't think this system I set up is working. What can I do different? Maybe this marketing thing didn't work. And you know, go for a 15 minute half hour walk, like even something that simple, it can work so many wonders.
Creating that space is so huge. And if I can share with you, a quick story here, I think it illustrates that really well. When my wife and I started our family, we were 3 months into pregnancy and we started telling family, friends, and so on. And we were on a team call and I shared the news with my team and, you know, hire people smarter than you, more experienced and so on, right? A lot of my team were parents. And so everyone was really excited for me. You know, I was going to be having a baby. This is so cool. And it was. So after we got past all the congratulatory stuff, they then said, well, you know, how much time are you taking off? And like, look, I've always worked for myself. I've always worked when I want, where I want, how I want. So I was like, yeah, like, of course I'll take some time off, but like, I'll still be around. And my wiser team told me like, no, you need to take some time like off. And we think you should take, you know, a good chunk of time off. And so what we settled on was that I'd take 3 months off. And the team said, well, great, we've got 6 months, you know, ish until you got a baby. Here's what we need. Here are the hires we need, the systems we need. Here are the things we need to know that only you know and so on, so that the business did not depend on me. So I truly could be offline. And we had a 6 month runway to do that. And so we made the hires, built the systems, you know, did all the things that were not yet done because I was still working, you know, in the business. And then I truly clocked out for 3 months, like no email, text, messages, none of that. And I got to be like 100% present with my now 3-person family. And to know that your only responsibility on any given day was just taking care of the family and not worrying about anything else was huge. You know, when you've got a newborn baby who's up a few times in the night nursing and all, and you don't care what time you get up that next day, and then you get up and your only concern is, you know, make sure my wife is getting what she needs to, you know, to be her best self, for us to go to a park, for us to, you know, just get time together as a family. All that is incredible. And a 3-month-old versus a 3-day-old are drastically different creatures. And that was so, so important. I can never, ever get that time back in my life. And it was so impactful to have that. And I'll tell you what was really interesting is towards the end of that 3 months, like you were saying, getting that headspace, the ideas on the business side, like I was itching to get back. I was loving the time I had, but those big picture ideas of what I wanted to do differently and what I wanted to launch, what I wanted to do, all those things had 3 months of separation and headspace from the business. Like when I came back, like I was so refreshed and so on fire and so ready to go. And that was from having that space. And ever since then, you know, the same thing happened 2.5 years later. 2.5 years later, we had my son, and again, was able to step away from the business for a few months and have that time with him as well, and a 2.5-year-old, which was just really incredible time. But it was a good test of that entrepreneurial freedom system, right? But also, it provided that space to get perspective on the businesses, which even if you only do it one day a month is huge. Even if you only do it 15 minutes a day, like you're talking about, is huge. But when I talk to business owners who share what you just said there, Dan, about this idea of like, I don't have time to work on the business, that is usually an indication to me of that is someone who needs this more than ever. Mm-hmm. Is because if you could invest one day a month, and that's it, of working on your business, what difference could that make? What's the ROI on that time? You invest the time on the business, how much does that then free you up to do more work on the business? And it becomes the self-reinforcing pattern.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'll just share it with you. When you were telling that story, and you said you took 3 months off, like my heart instantly was like, oh, like but that's a very, very interesting thing, right? I think, and maybe I'm just going to work through this, and I'll get to a question eventually. But you know, I think that's kind of how I think a lot of people when they start out, at least for me, because I never really came from a business background, right? So I started out like, okay, I just need like tasks to do and things to do and checklists. And that's how I still am very checklist oriented. Like that's just how I roll. But, you know, I get to this point and I guess when you said that to me, I was like, what the hell would I do with 3 months of not having like 3 months? I can't go 3 hours. Like you said, I think a lot of us, I remember being early on in my business, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to be this on-call guy. Like if they text me at 9 o'clock at night, like I'll do it. I'll take care of it. I'll make it work.
Can I touch on that for a second?
Yeah.
Cause that like I had a really pivotal moment in my life when my wife and I first met, this is, you know, well over 20 years ago now. I had a business, you know, it was computer consulting, you know, IT, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I had a cell phone, and that was, I'm not going to say commonplace or unusual, but that was, you know, different in those days. And I remember being on like one of my first dates with my wife, and, you know, I'm sitting there across the table from this amazing woman who I'm getting to know, and I've got my cell phone there. And like, when it buzzed, I'm like, oh, hang on 1 second. And I looked down to see like, what did a client need? And I remember being in the middle of that date and stopping, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing? How is whatever is happening on my phone more important than this human across the table who, little did I know, would, you know, become my wife, right? And I made a choice that right then and there, I'm like, no, I'm not 24/7 on call, right? I'm available during business hours, but, you know, once I'm out for the day, if clients need me, like, I'll get back to them first thing in the morning, but I'm not interrupting the me time that's creating the life that I want because a client has a need. And wouldn't you know, clients quickly and easily got retrained around that, right?
Yeah.
And also they respected it. So if you follow this whole hustle mentality of working 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, like it leads to burnout and you miss out on some of the most important things in life. So it's a choice you're making to overwork that way. And it's a choice you're making to miss out on what is arguably far more important in life.
Yeah. And I wish I had a similar story, like where you said you just one time and you just never did that. Cause there's been a lot of times where I was like, I need to stop doing this. But I will say ever since I've done that, like, just like you said, people get retrained around it. And it is a respectful thing about like, hey, like when I was on vacation last week, I told everyone, I was like, hey, I'm on vacation and I will not do things unless there's an urgent need for it. Like, things are literally on fire type of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's very interesting, but so where I was going with that before was like, okay, so now you get to this place where, okay, I've outsourced some things. I've delegated some things. I've built the business up to like, I actually do have time to work on this or have some time freedom, or I can take a half day Friday, or I don't even have to work all day Friday. And at least I went through this, and I'm still kind of coming out of this, to be honest with you, at this point in my career, is like, what do I do with this time? Like, what do I actually do? Like, one, I don't have kids yet. Okay. So there's like a big void right there. You know what I mean? But two, it's like, okay, you know, I feel like, at least for me personally, I even sacrificed a lot of hobbies. And I think a lot of people do this along their grind and their build to getting to that place. Is like, you maybe sacrifice some hobbies, you've sacrificed a lot of things that you're doing. So now I get to this place and you almost find yourself being bored. Like, okay, what the hell do I do now? Like, what's the next level? Where do I go? Do you have people that experience that too?
So it's funny, when we started our family, we had friends, again, you know, socially older, wiser, right? Who had kids, and they were, you know, sharing us that haunted, you know, foreshadowing of, hey, like, good luck. Enjoy your date nights. You're not going to see those for 20 more years. You know, enjoy, you know, because my wife and I, we love traveling. We love, you know, hosting parties. We love, you know, all these different things. And everyone basically said, like, good luck. All that goes away. And when we started our family, a funny thing happened. Like, none of it changed. You know, we got passports for babies. We continued traveling the world. We continued hosting great parties. And people were like, isn't the baby sleeping? And we're like, yeah, she's sleeping behind that door. Like, it's fine. Like, can I pour you something more to drink? And like, let's have fun. And we had a really good time, and just, we incorporated the family into that. We loved hiking, so we'd go hiking as a family. We love camping. We still do that stuff. We enjoy cycling. I couldn't wait for the kids to turn, you know, 12 months old and be safe in the trailer behind us. You know, so all the things we love doing, we just continued to do, but as a family. So, you know, all those friends slowly came around, like, oh wow, like, so you guys still do all that stuff. Like, that's pretty amazing. You know, we would still go on date night all the time. You know, at least once a week, we get out for a date night to, you know, support us. So like what you're talking about, Dan, of like these hobbies, the family, the passions, the interests, there's this idea of that you have to give up one to pursue the other. And that doesn't need to be the case. When my wife, we met during her first year in college, and during her last year in school, she sat me down for a serious conversation. And she's, you know, with a heavy heart, she was sharing with me how there was this really prestigious scholarship that she was considering applying for. And she's like, look, it's really hard to get, but like, if I get this Fulbright scholarship, then like, I'd be moving to Europe for a year, but like, I probably won't get it. But like, if I do, then like, you know, that's what that would mean. So like, I don't know if I should do it. And so I heard her out, you know, there was a longer version of that. And, you know, when she sort of looked up at me, my response was like, well, that's amazing. Like, where would we live? So she looks at me and she's like, we? I'm like, well, yeah, like, I'd go with you. Like, that'd be incredible. And so, like, her eyes lit up, and like, it hadn't occurred to her that she could both pursue a really prestigious competitive scholarship and still have me in her life. And so for me, it was a no-brainer. Like, why wouldn't I pack up and move to Europe for a year with her? And so there are ways to do both. There are ways to pursue your passions, your interests, and your hobbies, and your relationships. There are ways to have amazing relationships and also have a business. It's not about going all in on any of these things. Because I'll tell you what, you can work, you know, as you can be a parent 26 hours a day, and there's still room to be a better parent, right? You can work in your business 26 hours a day, and there's still more you could have done, right? So anything can become all-consuming. The question is, how you choose to spend your time and what you work on. So if we step back to this work on your business versus in, if all of the work is dependent upon you, there's always more you, quote, should be doing. Whereas when you have others who can help you out in the business is less dependent upon you. So the business can get what it needs without blocking on you and every minute that you have to give to that business. And the sooner you get past that block and start having others run the systems of your business, the sooner you can free up your own time to do what matters most in the business or what brings you the most fulfillment personally, professionally, and so on.
Yep. I mean, we're all just trying to figure this stuff out as we go. But that's where the power of what you say, the, you know, the mastermind comes in, because you don't have to figure it out on your own. Yeah. Like there's things you probably see, and there's things I probably see, and then that's how it goes. So tell us about that mastermind. Like, you know, is that the go-to thing? Is that like, just tell us more about that.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, like, I found over the years that being surrounded by like-minded, growth-focused individuals who want nothing but the best for you is so powerful. Because as an entrepreneur, it can be lonely at the top. Like, who do you share your biggest challenges with? Like, what's really going on? Who do you share your biggest wins with, who want to celebrate you and your accomplishments, right? you can't really go to your employees or the family or the friends or the vendors or any of those sorts of, you know, pools of people in your life. So when you have like-minded, growth-focused individuals, they can celebrate with you. They can acknowledge all that you've done, because we all know as an entrepreneur, there's a mountain of in front of us of things to do that could and should get done. But we can lose track of everything we've done and accomplished so far.
The gap.
And so when we create that space to acknowledge all that you've done is really important. When you have a space where you can share what's really going on in your business, you have others who've been there who can share not just their expertise, but also their resources, their contacts, their best practices, and so on. So a mastermind group really provides for that true peer advisory. And what I find fascinating is, you know, everyone who comes into the room has an idea of what they know, their area of expertise, right? The things they do really well. This is the stuff they know. And for you, you know the stuff you're good at, the things you know that you know. Everyone usually also comes in with like a big burning question or the thing that's keeping them up at night, that if only they could solve that or figure that out, what a different world it would be. Yeah. And that's the stuff you know that you don't know. That's where you go seeking answers. You go searching online, you go reading books, you take courses. It's the stuff you know exists that you don't know that you want to learn more about. But the real opportunities, those big ahas, those big pivots, that comes in that massive third category of the things you don't know, you don't know. And so simply being in the room of others who are sharing what's going on in their business, what's working, what's not working, and so on, that's where these big moments come up. That's where you get the true, what I call cross-pollination of ideas between industries, between quote-unquote competitors, right? Between business models. And we see that time and time again, that the real growth happens from those conversations sparked by somebody else sharing what's going on in their business. Those aren't the things you can go looking for. Those are the things you learn about by being behind the closed doors of a mastermind with others who are openly sharing just like you are. And so at the Bay Area Mastermind, we put together and facilitate these monthly mastermind meetings for growth-focused entrepreneurs to get unblocked, get unstuck, be supported, be inspired, and be awakened to the possibilities you didn't know existed.
Yeah. The unknown unknowns, man. They're like you said, that those are, we could talk all day about that kind of stuff. So yeah, well, no, that's very, very neat. So I'm not a part of it. I'm just full disclosure, but it does sound like a very, very interesting. So you run the Bay Area Mastermind and do all this type of stuff. That sounds very, very cool. So we'll have the link for all of you guys in the show notes for that. So go check it out. Sounds like a really, really interesting mastermind to be a part of. And if you're looking to grow and looking to, you know, have the space to do that, it sounds like the perfect opportunity for you. Let's wrap it up here, but do you have anything else, Jeremy, that you'd maybe, any piece of advice you'd like to share or, any last final thoughts before we go?
As an entrepreneur, you're not alone. You don't have to go it alone. If you are, it's a choice. And I'm here to give you permission to ask for help, to connect with other entrepreneurs and realize you're not alone on this journey. There are others out there who are on that same path as you are, others who are further ahead on that journey, and others who are somewhere behind you on that journey, right? And so by sharing and connecting with other entrepreneurs, you can both be pulled forward, help others to pull forward, and work with others who are that same spot in their journey. But all of it is moving towards a similar destination together in harmony and with support. And you can do it with others and not on your own.
Yeah, there's real, real, real power in that for sure. 100%. All right, Jeremy. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate you. This has been really enlightening. Very, very interesting conversation. I'm sure we could keep talking all day about this kind of stuff.
I talk about this stuff all day. I love it. Entrepreneurship has been my entire career. And yeah, we could nerd out on this all day.
Yeah, absolutely. But unfortunately for you guys, we're going to cut it short here. I'm not cut it short, but we're going to cut it off here. So you can go check out the Bay Area Mastermind at BayAreaMastermind.com. It's a little bit of a tongue twister there. BayAreaMastermind.com. Connect with Jeremy there. And I'm sure you're in great hands over there with Jeremy. So thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate this. Is there anything else or any other resources you'd like to share with us before you go?
A lot of stuff we talked about at BayAreaMastermind.com. Like, I love writing about this stuff. So you'll find articles where we do dive deeper into many of the things we've touched upon. I also interview other entrepreneurs who have found entrepreneurial freedom, and I publish their stories. So you'll find those there and so much more. So if you want to find out about the mastermind, about entrepreneurial freedom, about calculating your freedom number, how to scale, grow your business, how to create a mastermind group, how to find a mastermind group, all these things and more, is at BayAreaMastermind.com. So
there you go. Yeah. And so for any of you who have never joined a mastermind, I've joined several in my career, and they always return your investment. They always do. Now, it may not be financially, but you know, it's like, hey, I joined this for whatever in price, and then I get this back. It's not like you're going in there looking for customers, but it always is a return. Like, I've never gone into one and not come out of it with like, oh, I actually, you know, got something that's way more valuable than the money I paid to join it or whatever it might be. So if you've never joined that, really consider it and look into this. I'm sure it's a very, very good one. So anyways, that's all we're going to talk about here. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you coming on, Jeremy. And thank you so much. Maybe we'll talk to you here in the future at some point. But yeah, go check it out, guys. BayAreaMastermind.com. It's on the show notes below. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. See you later.